Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with my co-host, Michael Boyd. And man, Michael, have we been waiting for this one for a long time.
Absolutely. Excited to have him.
We got here in the set today, JoJo Matheny, Cookeville High School football fame, a player at Cookeville High School, coached at Cookeville High School, and presently is the principal at White Plains Academy. Joe, it's awesome to have you on the show today.
It's good to see you two young men. Michael, proud of you. Been watching you hang out with this guy. Kind of question your character about that. But he's not led you astray so far. And Sam, good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I tell you, I have been looking forward to this one for a long time. And got a lot to talk about, so we'll go ahead and dive right into it. But, Joe, a lot of people here in this broadcast that may not even know you, you know, as this is on a podcast and goes out around the world. So
Okay. Let's
start with you and introduce yourself a little bit to the folks. You know, I know you grew up in Cookeville, but they don't. So Tell us a little bit about young JoJo.
Well, I went to Parkview Elementary School when we were the Rockets.
The Rockets, mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, the Rockets. I thought you were a Parkview person and went on to Cookeville Junior High and graduated from Putnam County Senior High School in 1980. Not Cookeville High School, but Putnam County Senior High School. Went to Tech. I was there for 5 years. Got my first job out of there in Meigs County. Was there for 3. Came back to Monterey for 2. And I'm a product of the Putnam County school system. Grew up playing Babe Ruth baseball, junior pro football, working my way up through the junior high and the high school system where you and I played, obviously, for Coach Honey. And really enjoyed that.
Interesting for folks to know out there, too. You do the radio color on Cookeville High School games now.
Yes, sir.
For Stonecomb.
Podcast for last year at Upperman, this previously, and then this past year for Cookeville High School with Rafferty Clear. And I had a real good time with doing that.
Yeah, y'all did a good job, too.
Yeah. So I know you, you know, first and foremost in my life as our strength and conditioning coach at Cookeville High School. So I want to jump into that here at some point. But talk a little more about growing up playing sports. You know, what was your favorite? And, you know, has it always been football or did you like all the sports?
It's always been football. I played baseball. I was fair at it. I played basketball. I was a little bit better than fair, but I wasn't that tall, but football has always been my dream. Ever since I saw the first football game on TV, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a part of that. I got into football. Well, I'm going to tell my mother here. Mr. Herbie Merritt was my fifth grade teacher at Parkview. And he said, "You need to play football." I said, "Well, I will next year." Well, the next year rolled around. He said, "Well, how come you're not playing football?" "Well, I want to whenever they have tryouts." And he said, "Well, the first game's Monday or Sunday." And I said, "What?" And this was about Thursday. Mom and Daddy scurried around, got me on a team. Come to find out, my mother would drive by the junior pro fields practice every day. And she knew they were practicing. She just kept that from me. And she and I have had some discussions about that. So I've been playing since the sixth grade all the way up through my freshman year at Tech, where I played there and got my knee hurt. My senior year, come back, rehabbed that, then I got both knees hurt, spring ball, and I asked the good Lord if he'd get me through safe and healthy, I'd hang her up, and he did, and I did, and then got into coaching.
Wow.
So you know, you spent a lot of time, in, you know, being a strength coach and other types of coaches. Were you always into strength and conditioning as a young man coming up, or is that something that came later in life?
No, that started Coach Honey, as was his Sam, and there, he was our high school football coach, and he had Roger Parks, David Little, and Bill Rasmussen. And they came over after our ninth grade year. We started lifting at the old Cookeville Junior High School down in the basement. Michael, I fell in love with weights. That was just something I could do. I liked working out. I enjoyed working out. And then it's the part of my coaching career I liked the most was actually the strength and conditioning part. Yeah. And watching young men like you. And unfortunately, our host here, he finally found the weight room later on in his life.
Recently.
He would frustrate our head coach. After practice, after 2 days, you're supposed to go home and rest. Sam goes home and goes to the community center and plays basketball, swims, tennis. So he's athletic enough he can do that. But strength and conditioning has always been something I've enjoyed.
Today we're talking to JoJo Matheny, principal out at White Plains Academy and former athlete at Cookeville High School and coach at Cookeville High School.
So, you know, staying with strength and conditioning a little bit, you know, that's not something that's always been mainstream in sports. I mean, I think people a lot of times nowadays think, oh, yeah, people have been lifting weights in coordination with sports forever, but that's not the case.
Michael, I started lifting in, I think it's like the winter of 1976, and it still wasn't a big thing. And I remember going to UT clinics and the football clinics, and their weight room was not impressive at all. It wasn't big in college until probably the mid-'80s to late-'80s and early-'90s, and that's when you got to realize that the players were getting bigger and is getting stronger and is getting faster, and the weight room was the difference in a lot of teams being successful and not successful.
Team that comes to mind is Nebraska.
Yes, Nebraska. I patterned my weightlifting program after Nebraska and the University of Tennessee, Coach Stuckey up there.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got out of coaching and into administration, it was a combination of the Cornhuskers and the Volunteers. And any athlete that left there could go on any of those programs and been successful as far as knowing the correct technique and procedure. And they were the forerunners of strength and conditioning back in when weightlifting and strength and conditioning started.
And it's not just football. So, you know, I think football was kind of one of the places that people realize, oh, yeah, football players need to be strong and fast. But, you know, it has certainly worked its way into every sport to where now it seems like conditioning is like a year-round program for all these sports.
Well, you know, you have your men's athletics and your female athletics. Yes, it started with football, but then basketball soon caught on to it, and then the females caught on to it. Coach Little at the high school, he come to me one day and he said, I'm going to send you to the University of Kentucky. They have a great strength and conditioning program for the basketball team. So I went up there. Most major colleges, they have a strength and conditioning program for the female athletes. It's just super important at they get into a weight room, regardless of your
it's school. About keeping in good health. And, you know, if you don't use it, you know, it can get injured. And
yes.
I think that's where a lot of that came from.
Well, the lifting weights is to strengthen the joints. And to strengthen the joints, a side effect or a byproduct of that is big muscles. And bigger the stronger the muscles are, the more stable that joint's going to become. And, you know, you go to the doctor, you have a you and I both at that age that we have knee replacements and shoulder replacements and what have you. They're going to send us to rehab. It's to strengthen that joint that we've had replaced. And it's vital to a successful program.
It does seem in some ways, as I've observed through recent sports, that, you know, strengthening has also changed a little bit where, you know, kind of went from, hey, you know, football players were bulking up, and now it seems like at certain positions they're a little bit lighter, that, you know, a little more speed and agility training has kind of come into the forefront. Do you see that?
You look at I watch the old ESPN reruns of football games, and they talk about, man, their offensive line's huge. Their average height is 6'3", 6'4", 245, 250. 245, 250 nowadays is a linebacker. They're streamlined. It's just phenomenal as what a good strength program can do for your athletes. We have people that are now 340, 350 that when back in the day, they just looked completely out of shape. Those guys look chiseled at that weight. They've spent a lot of time in there. So the weight room is the difference between winning and losing.
Today we're talking to JoJo Matheny, White Plains Academy principal, former Cookeville athlete.
So you want to talk a little bit about how you kind of got your start into coaching? You talked about going through your playing career a little bit, and then after that getting into educating and coaching.
Well, you just mentioned I'm the principal of White Plains Academy, and ironically, my coaching career started there in probably 1981. In the back of the school, I coached a little junior pro team. You talk about earning your stripes right there. You could run, like, say, I route 32. You tell all your offensive linemen who to block. They go up there, they
point them out, right?
Point them out. Then they come back in the huddle and say, boys, we got this. I route 32. What do I do, coach? What do I do, coach? You talk about patience. It that taught me a lot of patience. And then a name that all three of us know really well, Virtus Duff, he called me probably after the season and said, what about coming out and coaching offense and defensive line for me and being my defensive coordinator?
And that's where it all began.
That's where it all began, baby. That's
where
it was.
I met him. Yeah.
And so it started there. I worked with him on the B team. He got John Funk to be the offensive coordinator. Virtus said, I'll just be the head coach, and I'll deal with the parents. Sam's smiling about that. I'll deal with the parents, and I'll deal with the media and what have you. And Virtus Duff did that. And got to, along the way, about what year were you? 80?
That had to be 83, I believe.
Somewhere in 83, got to meet this young man right over here, Mr. Sammy Joe Brooks. Didn't really know Sam at that point in time, but one particular play, we were down with no quarterbacks. And Sam was our quarterback. He was pretty athletic.
Here we go.
And we told him, Sam, we got to have you. If we don't, we're going to have to put an offensive lineman back there, and that wasn't be real good as a quarterback. So We wouldn't let Sam play. The next thing I know, I see somebody diving over the pile. Coach Duff, I got excited. Coach Duff, John got excited. And then until who we saw it was, Sam had dove over the pile. It was one of those goal line bang, bang plays. We get him back here and said, Sam, you can't play anymore. You can't run anymore. Somehow, the helmet goes about 10, 12 feet up in the air and falls down to the ground in a loud thump.
I dropped it, Mike. I dropped it.
12 feet, you drop it. Well, whatever. But that's where my coaching career started. It all good. Worked with Coach Duff with the B team. Worked my way up through there in the Meigs County. And been a joy of my life as far as being able to get that coach.
So, Joe, you mentioned, we'll talk a little bit more about that as time goes on. But, you know, one thing that stands out to you during that time, the early time with Coach Duff and the B team and all that, is there a fond memory that stands out for you more than anything else?
Sam, it's not just a one moment. It's just the friendship and the fellowship you make with your teammates. Working with the boys that we played with, Randall Smith, Greg Ball, Marlon Smith. I've worked with those guys, Mike Hanna, Freddie McLennan, and those guys, Jack Sells, Steve Carter. We're still friends. Some of those guys, not talked to them forever. But if they called me or I called them, they'd be right there. And then your coaches. The coaches that coached us, and you had a lot of the same coaches, and not the same coaches that I had, and you know the relationship we had with them. It's just the relationships you make through athletics. It's just something to know that when you're out there 90-95 degree during the 2-a-days, and you look over there, and that other guy sweating is like you are, and you're going to pick him up, he's going to pick you up. It is just that bonding together. And then as you go on from being that athlete to being the coach, as we have both coached Mr. Michael Boyne here, and to see somebody work hard like him, those are the things, those are the intangibles that they don't tell you about. You can't experience until you experience it yourself, but going through that.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Joe Matheny.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. We're going to continue on the conversation with JoJo Matheny. And JoJo, we were talking about your early days in sports, and we talked a little bit about weightlifting already. But you started working with Virtus in the early 80s. And, you know, I think you were still in school at that time and really learning about what you really wanted to do in your life. And that had to play a big role in your decisions.
Oh, you couldn't lead me into that any better. I started with Coach Duff in probably 82, working with the B team. I was at Tennessee Tech, majoring in business. Not my chosen profession, but that's what my daddy wanted me to go into. And Sam, it was probably the fall semester of 1983. My dad come in, and he had seen what I'd been doing with Coach Duff, and he could tell a difference. He and I never had this conversation, but one time, and it was about a 2-minute conversation. He comes in and says, "Well, son, if you want to change into education, which I wanted to do," he said, "go ahead and do it. I'll give you my blessing." And that was it. And, you know, if you went to Tech at that time, you had to stand in line, get these cards, get these signatures. So, Sam, I was there by 8. I dropped out of business school, and applied for health and PE, and I was finished by 9:30. Registered, enrolled, and had all my courses. That was a godsend to me right there, that I had made the right decision. And that was in 83, 84, 85. Graduated there, and yes, I was a volunteer assistant at the Cookeville High School with Coach Duff, and got to travel with you guys on Friday night. Just second set of eyes on the field for the linemen or the defensive line, And then Roger Parts, who one who's got me into weightlifting and strength and conditioning, he'd taken a head coaching job at Meigs County. I went over there, was with him for 3 years, or was there for 3 years. He went back to McMinn County, and then I worked for Coach James there. Meigs County's a rural county school. At that time, our program was down, but we got a good strength and conditioning program established there. I had the pleasure and the opportunity to coach Jeff Smith. Jeff went on to play for UT, signed with Kansas City, Jacksonville, with the Titans. He is in their camp. I think he finished up with Pittsburgh. So I ran across a lot of good athletes, some away from Cookeville High School through Meigs County. Then then came back to Monterey, Eddie Wheaton.
Let me stop you there. Meigs is a pretty good football traditional country. So leaving Cookeville, you've been in Cookeville High School, you coached a little bit in the high school ranks, and then you go to Meigs County. What was the difference there?
Well, Sam, you know, you and I were with Coach Honey for years. We learned the beer, we learned the 5-3, we learned the 6-2. Go to Meigs County, and they're wing-T crazy over there, learning new offense and new defense and new scheme, new blocking schemes. But I also learned that there's different ways of coaching football. You and I was at that time only had with Coach Honey, and which was a good system. Mm-hmm. But I got to learn a different system, a different way. There, we could only have practice one a day because Meigs County is a narrow but long county. Some of those kids just had to drive 25 miles one way to football practice. And their dads needed them for the farm. And so I realized that you did not have to go 2 days, but then you had to be efficient in what you did while you had them there.
Wow.
So that was a big, big lesson there, going from a large AAA school at that time to a small single-A school. But they had several athletes to come through there. Gary Moore, Robbie Scott, two of them that went on to play at UT. Jeff Smith went on to play. So they that school is a hotbed for athletes. They're just good old country boys and girls. And I say girls, they had Rachel Powell to go to University of Georgia and other girls to go on to other schools in basketball. Mr. Green went to the Tennessee. So that school, yes, it's small and rural, but they have athletics. And in a small community, athletics is very strong and important to a small community.
Having a conversation with JoJo Matheny this morning, and JoJo, we'll pick up right there. So you're at Meigs County and, really learning some new stuff, new skills as far as your coaching tools, if you will, your toolbox. And so how in the world did you get back to Cookeville?
I had been looking to get back. I finally come to a peace with the good Lord, if you will. I'm here. I'll stay here as long as you want me. And then lo and behold, Ed Wheaton at Monterey calls me, and he said, I have a position. And I was able to go to Monterey in that position where I worked with Ed Wheaton, Steve Hatcher, and the late Torrey Faust. That was a good staff to work with and learn again. I even went to a smaller school and how you had to work things there. And Coach Wheaton let the boys vote. You want to go morning practice or evening practice? And they voted evening practice. He said, well, if we're going to do one a day, you're going to have to come and give me everything he did. They came. They gave us everything they had. Went from a wing team, went back to the wing T in Meigs County, back to an I formation, pro set, 6-2 defense, 6-3 defense, 6-1 monster defense. So it's just been an evolution of my coaching career as far as the different what the head coach is going to run.
As I remember, you guys had some pretty dang good teams at that time, too.
We had some real good teams. Those boys, we didn't have any really outstanding size. Michael Boyne, if you remember him in high school, if he was at me at Monterey, he'd have been my starting inside defensive tackles. We ran a slant. We didn't have to be that big. We just had to be out quicker and out fast everyone, and he would have been that size. And their inside people were small. But they were quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our linebackers were probably 6 foot maybe at the most, 175, 180 pounds, which is not very big for a high school linebacker. But at that time, they were very efficient.
Well, you know, you say that, but, you know, one of the things that's been lost in this whole process of recruiting these kids now is, you know, a lot of the programs out there look – predominantly at size and weight and maybe even a little bit of a lot of speed, actually. But I think one thing that's been lost in the process, what you're talking about, is the heart of the kid. May not have been very big, but they could play.
Well, Sam, there's not a meter out there that measures that. And you're a prime example of that. You weren't the biggest and the strongest, but buddy, you had a heart. I've watched you go across that middle at Tennessee Tech where that's just an old man's land. You're going to get your head taken off if you're not careful. And you've gone across there, but you can't measure that heart. The car wild boy you had in here a moment ago, he was not that big, but he played with heart. You know, I've watched him for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He played with a whole lot of heart, and he got after it. So you can't measure the heart. Michael Bowen's another one that had heart. You just – size is obviously that can be a determining factor, but it's the size of the dog that's in the fight that's important.
It's important, and you know, it means a lot, and they got to have something to base know, kids on and compare them on, no doubt, but – I just hate that we're getting away from, you know, the measurement of that heart. And I don't know how or if you get back to it, but there's so many kids that are probably being passed over right now because they don't have a certain size or a certain weight. And I hate that.
You know, and we talk about that, and I think that's where parity is coming in at the college ranks, especially in the football. It might be the intangibles of a heart. You know, they may not be. They may be 6'2.5 now. They want a 6'3 person. They may want a 4.5 40, and he may be a 4.7 40. So those guys kind of fall down to the Techs or that next division, and that's where the parity comes in. And so,
you know, one of those, Jerry Rice, he never ran better than a 4.75 in any clock 40, but the kid could play.
He could run a route. He was disciplined in his route running. He could catch a ball. So those are the things that the heart, whether it's in football, basketball, or in school, if a kid has a heart, they'll find a way to overcome their perceived disabilities or shortcomings.
Right. So we're talking to JoJo Matheny today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more. Good morning. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. We're talking to JoJo Matheny. And JoJo, we ended the segment before on, you know, you getting back to Coolville High School, and I do want to give you the opportunity. There's so many focal people along the way in a athlete slash coach's career, and now you're into administration, that played an important role in who you are. You talked about your dad a little bit and how he helped you there along the way. Is there anybody that we're not mentioning so far that you need to talk about that really meant a lot to you along the way?
Well, Sam, that list is long. I have to go back and say my parents, they made a lot of sacrifices for me to be able to play sports in the beginning. And the only thing my dad ever asked me as an athlete, to give it 100%. He watched me practice one day, and he said, "Son, I don't think you gave me 100%. If you're not going to do that, don't go back."
Wow, how powerful was that?
I gave 100%. I didn't want to go have to haul hay, cut tobacco, and all of that. Bertus Carr and Vaughn Howard was my first football coaches. They got me into it. Then as we went through there, the junior high, Coach Chambers, Coach Cherry, Coach Higginbotham, then Coach Honey, Coach Rasmussen, Coach Little, Coach Parts, they were instrumental in us in my life and becoming an athlete. I worked with Coach Parts, Coach James there in Meigs County, Ed Wheaton, Jake Levy, and Coach Chambers again as the head coach at Coolville High School. So
wow.
Those men have been very influential in my life. And then obviously I mentioned Coach Duff a while ago, and we'll speak about him later.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. So as you get into coaching, you know, one of the things we hear a lot on the coaching side is, and sometimes some coaches can give it a bad name, is the teaching side. You're always told you're hired as a teacher first, and, you know, knowing and have been around you for so long, I know you're a quality teacher. How important was that to you to make sure that you justified that?
Sam, football, sports, athletics, you know as well as I do, and you're a great example of that. I've learned from you. It's not to scream and yell and holler, and of course I could do that, but it's the technique, getting your athletes to step with the right foot, get your head placement right, get your hand placements right, and it's just those repetitions, and you've got to be able to communicate that to your athletes. And I watched you and your receivers run routes. Your receivers had great route discipline. That's what I wanted my offensive lineman to be. I wanted the defensive lineman to have good technique. And football is such a game of inches. And if you take a false step, you're beat because if that defensive lineman or offensive lineman, they run their correct knee and they perform their duties well, it puts you behind. And it's extremely important. It's just teaching the students, one, about the game, about the schemes. You got to know the plays. Coach Rasmussen did a great job with us when we were in high school. Our senior year, we were in the Vier. our line, our guards could play tackle, our tackles could play guard. We knew what the other position was doing and why they needed to execute the way they did. We had calls up there. We'd call a play. It may be called to go one side. It may completely change the time we got up there. So it's that communication, but you have to understand the scheme of your offensive line blocking or your defensive package, whatever you're running there.
And I take that into the classroom. I'm a big believer if you got someone who can be a good coach on the playing field, they can be an excellent teacher because it's one and the same.
It's absolutely the same. I watched a math lesson today with one of my coaches at White Plains, and he did a phenomenal job of teaching equations to his students. But he broke it down into simple, easy-to-follow steps. Beyond that, he had a relationship with those students. And I think that sometimes is overlooked, but I think more and more as we progress, it's more about the relationships that we make and form with our athletes or with our students to get them to go to that next level. And it takes all the same. And I think you and I both know that Coach Leiby said good teachers make good coaches and good coaches make good teachers.
Yeah.
And if you're a good coach, you should be a good teacher.
Heard him say it several times.
Yes.
Today we're talking to JoJo Matheny. And JoJo, let's continue on right there. You mentioned a lot of names, you know, right there that brings back a lot of memories. But one we really need to stick on a little bit that has meant so much. And I'll just give you an example. I was in a meeting last week or a couple weeks ago, actually, and the room was full of about 12 supervisors in Putnam County. And the question, the check-in, was, what's the one person that was most influential in your career? And three people out of that room, Sancher, was Virge Duff.
Really?
And so that, you know, is amazing to know that that guy had so much influence on so many people, you know, in Putnam County, not only as someone that we coached with, but athletes who played for him. You know, Virge Duff was so unique. And the thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up and let you talk a little bit, but the one thing was so unique about him, he could bless a child out, and he would never do it in a deteriorating way.
Mm-hmm.
It was never personal, and it was never breaking the kid down. It was correcting a mistake. He could absolutely do that with the best of them, but they turned around and absolutely loved him for it. I've seen other coaches who could do the same thing, and the kid would not like that coach the rest of their life, but he had that unique ability.
Well, Sam, the one that had the most influence outside my parents would be Virge Duff. He's the one that got me into this. He came and found me. He recruited me, if you will, and the rest is history, so to speak. But, see, with Virtus, I'm at a different perspective than what you are. He never coached me. I learned from him. I learned just exactly what you were talking about how he could get on to a person, get on to an athlete, and him not quit. Now, that's not to say he never didn't get on me, because he's got on me a plenty of time. We got on the bus one night, and I thought I'd taken care of his situation back there in the back. And the boys were getting a little bit rowdy. It was Oakland. We didn't win. Bad things happen when we go to Oakland. So he gets on, and they're louder than what he wants them to be. So he goes back there and chews them out. And I'm thinking, well, Coach, I just talked to him. Then he points that little pointer finger at me. If you'd have done your job the first time, then you're right, I wouldn't have to do that. So that was Virtus. He had enough for everyone. And
oh, yeah.
Softball, working with him, I really enjoyed. You know, he's the only undefeated coach in softball history.
And we know why.
We know why, and I'll let you share that in a minute. But we were running in the old Cookeville High School, Avery Trace Auditorium, and we were running laps. And I had this one girl. She was mad. She was about to quit. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I'm going to quit. No, don't do that. I hate him. He don't like me. I don't like him. When she graduated, she would have fought anyone that said anything negative about Coach Duff. He had enough. He treated everyone the same. Player, non-player, managers, it didn't matter. If you had done something, if the star athlete on that team got a jersey, that manager's going to get a jersey. If he didn't have enough for the manager, the star athlete won't get it. So everyone was treated the same.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, back to that story that we were talking about, well, we'll get into that here in just a second. But, you know, it just that unique ability that he had to you know, really motivate. And the reason he wasn't he was undefeated in softball is because, you know, he got to, I think, if I'm not mistaken and remember this right, he got to his 500th win in softball. It was one of the highest in the state of Tennessee, but I think it was at this time that this happened. But the next day we get a plaque. You and I are in his office at lunch where we spend a lot of the time during lunch, and we get a plaque that I think it said 0-150 or something.
He says, like, Verderstuff, undefeated coach, only undefeated coach in high school. And then he gave you one and me one. The reason I'm undefeated is because these characters couldn't get me the runners. So we're unvictorious.
We're unvictorious, and he's undefeated. So that's the story there. We got all of the losses there for Coach Duff. And you're right, that was at 500, and I think he got somewhere near around 700, 800 wins.
I was thinking it was between 700 and 800.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just incredible to be around. I take a look at growing up and being around him. Not only was I around him, but my sister was around him before me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I learned about Verda stuff before I even stepped foot on Cookeville High School. And just a huge influence in a lot of folks' life. His son, Matt, now is teaching up at Monterey.
He's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job. He's continuing that on. But
and, Sam, I tried to hire Kim Duff to come back from Murfreesboro to here. And I told one teacher, I said, I'm going to hire you, but if the name Duff comes across my desk on the resume, she's got it. I couldn't talk her into it. So all worked out.
At least you tried. So
yes.
You tried to get her back. But anyway, just a lot of influence there. Who else, you know, in your life has been important? I want to go ahead talking save a little bit of time for your sons and update us on how they're doing.
Yeah. Justin and Candace, that's my oldest son and oldest daughter-in-law. They just had their daughter is now 14 months old.
Oh boy.
Giving him a run for his money. The disappointing part with Justin about being a dad, Sam, he thinks he's the only one that's ever had a baby. And he's the only one that can do anything with that daughter of his. I don't know how we ever got him raised or his brother raised. They're doing well. Candace, a nurse at the Livingston Regional Medical Center. She's a PRN there. She sells real estate.
Jared, I thought I saw that.
Yep. Jared's my youngest son, and both Justin and Jared both played at Cookeville High School. One backtrack to Duff, one just a little bit. Justin had him in the ninth grade. The only issue I have with Coach Duff, he retired one year too soon.
Yeah.
Jerry didn't get him. Justin has told me I've learned all I needed to learn in Coach Duff's classroom. But so he's had a little bit of Duffisms. And then Jared, he lives in Murfreesboro, and his wife are doing well down there. He's in the concrete business. She is a she has her own, she works for a ABA behavior company. They work with autistic children in modifying and working with their behavior.
And as I remember, Jared went to Middle Tennessee specifically for that business.
Yeah, Sam, we went down there and I said, what's MTSU known for? The music, the space, two or three other things. And then they said, concrete. And I looked at the girl and I said, concrete? You talking about this stuff we're standing on? And she said, yes, that stuff we're standing on. She said, our concrete majors have anywhere from 3 to 5 job offers when they leave MTSU, and sure enough, he did.
Wow.
He sure did.
That's amazing. So as we close it down, Joe, anything else you'd like to add to the show today? I mean, we talked about a lot of good stuff, and it's my opportunity. You know, I've had a couple of people on here just to personally to say thank you for everything that you meant to me. You've been an inspiration in my life and meant so much to me along the way, and still today I get to work in the same building with you. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for all that you've done for me in my life.
Well, Sam, it was early on that you could tell that you was different. You were going to do something, and you were just a hustler. I appreciate you, and that goes both ways, young man.
I appreciate that.
I remember a night at, you probably don't remember this, but at Cookeville Babe Ruth baseball field, Coach Duff and I had been in contact and talking to each other, and you went out of your way to say hi to me, and I thought, you know, that little guy's going to do it. And, you know, I've been blessed, Sam. I've not done it perfect, but I have been blessed. God has richly blessed me. Without him, none of this other stuff would have been possible.
That's right.
I look at it, I got the mother and the father I got, I just love dearly. I didn't have all I wanted, I don't guess, but I had all of my needs taken care of.
Yeah.
And they have just, it started there. And that's the biggest blessing I've got with my parents and what God has done for me.
Well, Joe, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have to do this again and talk some more.
I look forward to it.
So we appreciate you being here today. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.